This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Climate change, dominating the story around the world, most recently in Australia, an election turned on the anxiety of the public about climate change. I come to an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, published most recently, about climate change and what is to be done. The editorial turns on a banker, a very successful executive at HSBC, who made a presentation to his colleagues about risk, climate change, investment, the future. He said in the course of his presentation, this is the Wall Street Journal reporting to one of the slides presented to the bankers, unsubstantiated, shrill, partisan, self-serving, apocalyptic warnings are always wrong, said Mr. Kirk. For this, we're told by the Wall Street Journal, he's been sent to re-education camp. He has spoken things that are not acceptable in public for HSBC and its governors. To help me understand this peculiar twist, I go to Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution. Most importantly, the editor and writing the introduction for Adapt and Be Adept, Market Response to Climate Change. Certainly, Mr. Kirk is aware of adaptation. It was the driving theme of his presentation for which he's now been punished. Terry, a very good evening to you. The moment I read this editorial, I thought, call Terry Anderson. So I wrote you a note, and you're very kind to be here. What is Mr. Kirk's error? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. He said at the very outset that the apocalyptic predictions have been spouted so many times that no one even listens to them anymore, and they shouldn't listen to them because the apocalypse is not around the corner. That was probably heresy enough, but then to say that the risk associated with climate change is not something that is really worth worrying about for one of three reasons. It isn't worth worrying about because we've already taken it into account, or it isn't worth worrying about because it isn't real, or it isn't worth worrying about because we just don't fully understand it. Any one of those is appropriate, I think. But to say in the banking community that climate risk is not a factor that should be taken into account in risk analysis is itself something that's not acceptable in polite company. And he didn't mean that there weren't risks out there of all kinds, especially, for example, today, inflation risk. He just meant that markets, in particular finance markets, the ones that he works in, are taking into account all kinds of risks. And this one is just another one of those risks that climate markets take in step.
Mr. Kirk indicated that the banks, he's talking to his profession, are focusing too much on mitigating climate change rather than financing adaptation. What is adaptation to be financed, Terry? Your whole book is filled with examples. Give one that the audience can understand.
Well, my favorite example, since many people think that climate change is going to reduce crop output and food supplies and change weather patterns, a place to invest in adaptation is to invest in creating new farms on the northern side of the Canadian-U.S. border. That is where we're going to see some wheat production from the U.S. move. And when it moves there, there will be investments in making the land ready for that wheat to be planted. That's just one small example. But what we see around the world is crops are moving to places that will have more moisture as a result of climate change, that will have better temperature and temperature levels and variation for the crops that people want to grow. And I think that Mr. Kirk was simply saying banks can find profit opportunities, and that's what they are always looking for, by investing in places where people haven't thought investments exist. So investing in land north of the Canadian border, where it will be agricultural land but isn't now, is an example that is easily understood.
Cap and trade, Terry, does that still resonate with the bankers and with the industries concerned about climate change?
That's one that has basically died away. And I think it's died away for two reasons. The first reason it's died away is that no one has been willing to step up and say, here is what the cap on carbon will be, and now let the market take account of that cap. So no politicians are really willing to push that forward. And then the second reason it's died away is when it was tried in the EU, the European emissions trading program fell flat on its face after a pretty robust start because politicians could not resist increasing the amount of cap that existed. And it is no different than inflation. If you increase the money supply, you reduce the value of money. If you increase the caps available for carbon emissions, you reduce the value of the caps that exist. And as soon as that happens, cap and trade as a market disappears.
My memory of our conversation and the reading of one of the essays in your book is that there are important, necessary, and finite limits to what renewables can do for energy. Do I remember correctly, Terry?
Absolutely, John. We will continue to make improvements. Mr. Kirk said the same thing. There are profits to be made in renewables, but there are limits on just how much, given the current technology or any perceived technology, that we'll be able to achieve with renewables. Of course, we're going to improve battery storage, one of the main things that has to happen. But even then, physicists don't believe that we will ever in the foreseeable future have the kind of technology to utilize renewable energy in any meaningful way to solve our energy crisis.
Mr. Kirk's mistake was to say that the world is not flat. Is that what we've got here?
That's a perfect way of saying it. He said, that markets work. I always point out to audiences that climate change is about risk and variance. And then if you ask what markets take into account risk and variance the best, they are finance markets, insurance markets, and real estate markets. Those markets are taking into account whatever risk there is. And as Kirk pointed out, the risks turn out to be quite low, but the markets are taking them in stride.
The part of the editorial I most enjoyed, and you have personal experience with Mr. Kirk's speech, I do not, is that he said that the concern about climate will be dwarfed by global growth in the 21st century. That is extremely positive. Do you endorse that, Terry?
Well, I endorse it with one caveat. I am sure we can introduce some totally senseless policies that can slow or even stop growth. But his point is, you look at the growth path over the last 200 years in the United States, and it just continues to march on. And it continues to do so because people adapt all the time, not just to climate change, but to all kinds of nasty things that hit them that they weren't expecting. And it's our ability to adapt that will make us grow. And what economists show with the data that exists is that by the year 2100, GDP, world GDP, will be up 1,000%. And so even if we lose 5% due to climate change, which is what the IPCC estimates, then it'll be trivial in the grand scheme of where we're going to be. And as we get richer, we will be able to better adapt to climate change. And I think that's another important part of Mr. Kirk's message.
Now, I understand it's necessary for the Wall Street Journal to be careful about presenting this, but this seems an injustice given that Mr. Kirk is following along with the thinking that I find in your book and the thinking that I find everywhere. So we're just going to accept the fact that some things are not said right now, but they're being acted upon in quiet. Is that correct, Terry?
Absolutely. I think that markets are always quiet in a sense. You don't want to go out and announce to everybody that here's the greatest profit opportunity ever until you've acted on it, and then maybe you announce that. But in that sense, markets are quiet. They move quietly. They take these climate change risks into account quietly. And then when someone like Mr. Kirk says, we have done it, we are doing this, we are human beings and we know how to adjust to these things, they're taken to task and sent to reform school.
Terry Anderson is the John and Jean Denault Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, Professor Emeritus, Montana State University. He is the editor with a contribution for a book I recommend to all bankers and their friends, Adapt and Be Adept, Market Responses to Climate Change. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.